Well, hello, this is your Right Reverend John St. Germain welcoming you to the very end of 2016, and good riddance, some might say, but not me. 2016 has been an adventurous year. Tonight we're going to deal with saying goodbye to it, I suppose. It is December 27th, 2016, and we're the name of the show is Who's On First, and that means basically who's with us for it. Coming into 2017. So, hey, why don't we come back in just a few minutes with a refreshment of some sort, hot, cold, lukewarm, and we'll be with you in just a minute. Broadcasting probably for the last time this year, and also from the last time from my residence in West Knoxville, because today we closed on our new residence in North Knoxville, the new St. Germain Manor. It's a 110-year-old house, and we found out about the previous owner, whose name was E.W. Whittle, and the road is, of course, on Whittle Springs Road in the Whittle Springs community, and apparently Mr. Whittle owned the Whittle Springs Bottling Company, which produced a wide variety of Whittle Springs elixirs, which were snake oils. They promised to cure a wide variety of ailments, including slow bladder, diabetes, mumps, measles, dyspepsia, the ague, la grippe, tuberculosis, female hysteria, premature ejaculation, and I imagine this guy with Mr. Haney's voice from Green Acres said, "This is guaranteed to cure any ailment from teething ache to slow kidney to female hysteria, and especially recommended by the clergy for performing exorcisms. Just 5 cents a bottle." And the reason I found him was because when I did a search, he came up in the books of legal actions taken against him. For misrepresenting the contents of the bottle. Apparently it was a mineral water. He claimed all these ingredients, magnesium sulfate, calcium sulfate, and all these other things, and there was a chemical analysis, and it contained none of them. And furthermore, a panel of physicians said that even if it did, none of those ingredients were medically effective in any of the conditions he claimed that they treated, and they fined him all of $10. For misrepresenting these, but apparently made a lot of money because the Whittle Springs community was named after him. The house we bought is called the Whittle Mansion, not the Little Mansion, but the Whittle Mansion, and it's well known in the community. But by then, he was known he was known as a real estate developer, the clerk of a local church, and well known. But he made his fortune as a snake oil salesman before he went into real estate development and a pillar of the community. I just thought that was very interesting that I, your humble spiritual leader, is now living in the house haunted by the ghost of a snake oil salesman. I'd like to think, though, he reformed by the time he became the pastor and cleric and clerk of the East Knoxville Baptist Church. As it turned out, I found his name in that, but more about the good. E.W. Whittle in the future when we find out more about him. Well, tonight our show is about letting go of the past and opening space for the future. And we're going to talk about that at length if we can, and ways to do that. This is, of course, the Crystal Silence League, which, if those of you who are new to this should know, was founded around 1917. Which is about the time my house was built, by the way, by Mr. Claude Alexander Conlon. for the purpose of sending out via thought waves positive prayer and affirmation for all those in need. And when Mr. Conlon passed into the silence around 1954 or so, which was about 6 years before I was born, he took it the league with him. And then, of course, adepts of the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church founded it a few years ago. and correct me if I'm wrong, Troll Towelhead around 2009. And brought it to life in the web on cybernetic forum. And you can find us at www.crystalsilenceleague.org. And on that website, that beautiful website, you can post prayer petitions. And you'll have hundreds of people pray for you. And prayer is always free at the Crystal Silence League website. And there you can find books to buy and crystals to buy. And one of those books is one written by me called Crystal Magic, Divination Healing and Spellcraft for Gems and Minerals. And some of the other books were written by our founder, Mr. Claude Alexander Conlon, on the four branches of crystallomancy, which we mentioned and talk about quite a bit on the show. Tonight, our crystal of the week, gotta pardon me, I'm getting over a cold and I'm a little scratchy, is a Picasso jasper. And Picasso jasper, if you've never seen this, is a remarkable looking jasper. It's really a marble. It's a form of marble, but it's called a jasper. And if you look at it, it looks like there's pictures in it, and often landscapes. And if they're polished into an orb, it looks like you're looking into the orb, into another world. It looks like a small landscape is trapped within the stone. And it's called Picasso jasper because it's reminiscent of his Cubist period, the artwork that's in it. And when you look into it, you can be transformed, like you're going into another world. Reality is transformed. But it is a stone that assists in transformation on many levels. It connects to the root solar plexus and chakras. And because of it's got many different colors in it, and vibrates in different harmonies, so it can bring forth very assertively creative and procreative energies, which encourages profound insights and self-expression and connection to past relationships and to renew old friendships. So you can see this is a very appropriate stone for the new year. Like all jaspers, it has very strong and powerful grounding qualities, and it can help engender inner strength and the strength you need and the discipline you need for creative efforts. Many people say it can promote weight loss and things similar to that, letting go of bad habits and the transformation of yourself and where you are and where you want to go. So if you make an elixir of it, you know, this is marble, right? It doesn't dissolve very readily in water. So you can use the direct method, take a quantity of water, put the jasper in it, let it sit in the sunlight. The water will take on the qualities, the vibrations of the jasper. You remove it, add a few drops of brandy in the water, and bottle it. And progenitor, previous owner of my house, W. Whittle, the bottled water elixir will be good for many ailments. It may not cure kidney disease and hysteria and premature ejaculation and other things that he claimed, but it will be very good for creative efforts, self-expression, and renewing old relationships. And that is the qualities of Picasso jasper. So there we go. We appear to be having some sound problems. Text in the chat room seem to feel that I'm rubbing my microphone. That's not possible. I'm using a headset. So there's apparently some problems going on online with our with our sound. I'm going to check my microphone very quickly here, though, and see if there's anything rubbing against it. I don't see how it could be. It's a wireless headset, so let me check. But we can certainly, well, you know, things happen. There's no cord to the headset. It's wireless, so there's nothing that could rub against it. But you know, this is a very strange type of stuff. We've had problems with sound before, so there's nothing can rub against it. The atmosphere, you know, the ambiance. So we'll bear with it and see if it goes away. So we'll do it. We'll look at it. Well, I took it off. And very good. And let's reconnect chat. And let's bring this back. And I am about now back. Okay. If I got dropped, I'm back now. So we're going to start reading our prayers. And we'll begin now. So we have prayer ID number 57074, who prays for healing for her mother. And she says, please pray that ACG be healed of any and all cardiovascular disease and the surgery on Friday be successful. Thank you. And prayer ID number 57073, who prays to remove alcohol and drugs permanently from her life and continues to pray for the permanent removal of these alcohol and drugs, to release every form of using substances, to regain her life and her health, and to restore her relationship and finances. May it be so. Amen. Prayer ID number 57071, who prays, I need the authorities where I live at the moment to help me and grant me the help that I solicit urgently for decent housing and a financial grant immediately. I need magical and spiritual prayers from Crystal Silence League for this, and that 2017 will be a much better year. Bless. Amen. And we have prayer ID number 57069, who says, Dear God, help me see a sign as to what you have in store for me for my love life. I'm doing work to heal myself. Please help me. I just don't want to hurt anymore. I want to be happy. I want a man that will love and cherish me and never leave my side ever. If that's my ex, then bring him to me. If it's someone new, please bring that person to me. This life is so long without love, and you know how much love means to me. I love myself too much to settle for less. Bring me a man committed. Amen. We have prayer ID number 57068. I need for my friend JC to call me right away. He is going through a hard time and he has shut me out. I need prayers that he will contact me ASAP, and that if I did anything wrong or if he has any ill feelings toward me, that they will go away, and that his eyes will be open, and that he will contact me a lot more, and that we will hang out a lot more. I pray that all roadblocks are pushed out of our way, and that he contacts me. Thank you, and I will pray for you as well. Amen. We have prayer ID number 57067. Will you please pray for Jesus to take my burdens from me through positive means? And will you please pray for T to text or call me back today on the phone in a positive, honest way? I may have really messed things up, and I pray I haven't. I've asked Jesus to help me in this situation and to take my burdens from me. Please pray about these situations for me. Thank you for your prayers. Happy holiday to you all. Thank you. Amen. Prayer ID number 57066. Please, can I ask for prayers? My life is going so wrong for so long. My abusive ex has cursed me since we split. But I have feelings for a new guy, and I've told him by email, and I'm waiting for a reply. And cannot take another reaction, a rejection. This is a friend of mine. Please pray he feels the same and that all curses are lifted from my friendships. And I live life, and this guy, whom I've known for years, wants the same as me. In God's name, amen. Prayer ID number 57065. Every day I pray for my marriage. It is hurting and suffering right now. My husband needs God's guidance, and he needs to seek God and know that he is forgiven. Today I pray that a hedge of thorns be placed around my husband, protecting him and leading him away from temptation and sin. I pray that he realizes the worth of our marriage. Please pray with me for this continue to pray for my hurting marriage. Amen. Prayer ID number 57064. I come to you today with a need of a powerful prayer. We need a financial blessing right now. We're about to be evicted with nowhere to go. I pray that we get help right now. I have been praying and trying not to stress, but in the human mind it's hard. God, we need you right now. The devil is a lie. No weapon form against us. Share prosper. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer ID number 57063. My lover is returning to me tomorrow after spending half of the year across the country. I pray that we reunite with boundless warmth, with love, and with desire. I also pray that we both have the humility and grace to forgive each other for the troubles and misunderstandings that have come with long-distance love, that we devote ourselves to this relationship and are blessed with an open road to a strong and compassionate union. Please join me in prayer. Amen. And prayer ID number 57062. I say this every morning. Hold a rabbit's foot charm over your heart and say this 13 times. With rabbit's foot and magic verse, I turn around this wicked curse. As these words of mine are spoken, let this evil curse be broken. Hey, well, thanks for that. We all need something to help break a jinx, don't we? Someone volunteered something there. Okay, prayer ID number 57060. We have been separated since November 2nd. This is about her husband. Oh, I'm so sorry. I have not heard a word from him since November 2nd. Please bring him home to reconcile without resentment or anger. We have been together 13 years and married 6. I also would like family and friends, business partners, interference to stop so we can live our lives in peace. I've been a devoted wife to him and will continue to do so. Please take away the evil that surrounds us and replace with love and caring. I pray for this and need intercession. Thank you. And prayer ID number 57059. May Pili, the wonderful counselor, Holy Trinity, and the Church triumphant bless me and heal me from Yang Ming and Tai Yin, the four horsemen of the apocalypse who sends devils after me. Hop Tomai, Epitesmios Sulcarios, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, glory to Jehovah, amen. Prayer ID number 57058. I pray that my brother Jay finds a job in his field soon so he can stay in Canada and not have to come back. I hope he overcomes all the obstacles and has a happy life. Amen. And prayer ID number 57057. I pray that FC openly communicates in person with me and we restart our loving relationship and it lasts forever. Remove all obstacles, temptations, hurts, and fears, keeping him from committing to only me. That he follows through on his promises to me, returns and stays with me forever and for good. That he apologizes to me for hurting me, talks with me honestly, and is totally reliable, faithful, and devoted only to me. That he always makes me a priority and be that better man he says I deserve. May this be so. Amen. And we have prayer ID number 57056. I pray somehow I can find a way to make $300, either a client call, tips, or paid mails can be purchased. Amen. And let's find one more. Prayer ID number 57054. Please pray for the love of my life to come back to me. I miss this man so much, and I love him with every fiber of my being. Please pray that all obstacles that are keeping us apart be removed, and for this wonderful man and I to be together. I know that this man is my soulmate. Please pray for us. Amen. And let's have a bit of silence for all of those in need, a prayer and support and comfort. Amen. Well, welcome to the 84th episode of the Crystal Silence League Hour. This is the last episode of 2016. And as we say a fond farewell to 2016 and welcome 2017 then, it's a time of year where often we set goals, don't we? We say, well, man, I've had enough of this old year. And there's this thing called New Year's resolutions. I don't even make those anymore. It's like setting unrealistic expectations as far as I'm concerned. And I'll tell you an interesting thing. People always ask for things for Christmas that are commensurate with their New Year's Eve goals or their New Year's goals. People who are going to exercise ask for weights and exercise equipment. People who are going to become guitar heroes or musical prodigies get musical instruments. And that's why about 6 weeks after Christmas, if you want to buy exercise equipment or musical instruments, look on the Craigslist, or the want ads, And you can buy exercise equipment and musical instruments really inexpensively. That's what I always do when I wanted to upgrade my piano or my keyboard. 6 weeks after Christmas is the time to do it, man. People realize, man, this is hard. You know, their enthusiasm only carries them for about a month or 6 weeks. And then people in the house say, you know, I'm tired of tripping over this weight bench. You know, you're just hanging your laundry on it. And I keep tripping over that guitar, you know, get rid of it. So people find out it's hard. You know, these things are hard. Setting a goal is hard. And changing reality is hard. We've discussed this. When you try to make changes to reality, reality resists. Reality is elastic. It's elastic. It's like stretching a rubber band. The more you stretch the rubber band, the harder it is to stretch. And that's the way reality is. Reality does not change easily. It will resist. And the greater the change you make, the harder it is. If you make gradual changes to your reality, there's only a little bit of resistance. You may not even notice it. But if you make sudden and immense changes to reality, reality fights back. All you have to do is look at history and look at people who tried to change reality on a global scale. We can name some names. Jesus, Gandhi, Napoleon, Caesar, Hitler, Martin Luther King Jr., and look what happened to them. Now, there were people who tried to change reality on a smaller scale, and most people don't even know how they did that. And we're talking about people like the Buddha and Lao Tzu and Confucius, people like this. They just said, you know, change yourself. Don't worry about changing the world. Change yourself. And they came to a fairly peaceful, you know, Buddha laid down on a pillow and meditated and passed quietly into the silence. Nobody wanted to kill him. He just said, you know, forget about the world. Change yourself. When you try to make changes to the world will resist. And even if you're trying to make changes to your life, sudden changes to your life, there's resistance. I've always known this. I have always known this. When I tried to raise my head out of what society planned for me, there were tons of obstacles. When I decided to become self-employed, when I decided to change my role, there are sanctions imposed by society and reality when you decide to become what I am. And but I knew this. I expected this. And I have a quality of survival that when the world puts up obstacles to me, I just get mean and dig in and say okay. I get calm and mean at the same time, and I say, okay, what do I need to do to deal with this? If there's financial obstacles, I say, I can't afford this. I say, how do I come up with the money to afford it? If there's disasters, I say, what do I need to do to overcome this disaster? I've noticed that not everybody does this, that many people complain about how hard things are, or say, you know, I have bad luck, I'm born under an unlucky star, the world has conspired against me, I can't catch a break, you know, things like this. This sort of talk generates baggage. An internal dialogue that over time, what you do is you collect injustices or you collect internal history that when you look back on it, you just say, well, I've never been lucky. I've never been successful. And these are the things that you really have to let go of, especially if you have had a hard life or an unsuccessful life, if you're going to forge ahead, because there is resistance. And I'll give you an example. We were looking for this new house, and we found it a lot sooner than we had expected. And we really weren't prepared to find it this soon. And we weren't prepared for the seller to close as soon as she did. And because she found a job in another part of the state, basically, and she had to sell quickly. And we really weren't prepared for it. And but we had to have this house. This was the house that we were meant to have. You know, we sent it out there, and this was home. We had to have it. So when we closed, we made a sudden change in our reality, because we immediately knew we were going to put our existing property that we own for rental we weren't prepared to do that. We hadn't made the changes necessary. There were no gradual changes. We knew we could make the changes we needed, but we had to do them all at once. So our reality changed very suddenly. Immediately, obstacles, reality resisted, and obstacles came up. One of the big obstacles was our main, our water main broke. To our, not to our new house, but to our existing house. Our water main broke, and it was a $3,000 plumbing bill. The seller threw up obstacles. She had to sell the house, but she had delays in her life. The mortgage company, the woman handling that, was delaying, making mistakes to the point where if we met her, the mortgage rate was going to go up. I had to get on the phone with her supervisor to budge her. There was one thing after another. It didn't go smoothly. And I was thinking, some people would have just thrown their hands in the air and said, okay, forget about it. You know, my mother would have. My mother would have said, oh, forget it. Just forget it. You know, I'm not going to deal with these people. And we had to deal with the utility company. There were problems there. And it was one thing after another. And, you know, people that know me, you know, around here know, said, I'd have to call up and say, hey, you know, I got to reschedule this. You know, I got to do this. I got to do that. Got to juggle this. Have to do that. And all through this, you know, we're raising a 3-year-old granddaughter. And also, you know, I'm working. So, these are obstacles because we changed our reality. Now, I expected it. I knew it. I knew this was going to happen. So, but I wasn't quite prepared for a $3,000 plumbing bill, but, you know, there it was. So, you know, that was money that we'd set aside for some other things, but we brought it over. Now, we've run some other obstacles. And as they come up, I find, you know, I just get calm and say, okay, here, we just have to do this. There's some obstacles and some delays. So my question to you is, are you prepared to enter the new year with a calm attitude? There's a lot of fear right now. And there's been a lot of celebrity deaths in 2016. This is to be expected. I made a post on Facebook about this. 2016 is a numerological 9 year. It's a universal 9 year. And if you go back 9 years ago to 2007, you'll notice that there was a great many celebrity deaths there as well. I put a big about 20 celebrity deaths and a lot of personal deaths. A lot of people suffered personal deaths. 2007, there wasn't Facebook. There were a lot of forums, though, and people were going on a lot about the all the celebrity deaths. You know, Luciano Pavarotti died in 2007, and Suzanne Fleshette, Tom Poston, so many people. And I got a list here. Evel Knievel, Luciano Pavarotti, Suzanne Fleshette, Charles Nelson Reilly, remember him. Lady Bird Johnson, Anna Nicole Smith died. Roscoe Lee Brown, remember him. He was really funny. Bobby Bird, Brett Summers. She was on Match Game. Remember she was, how funny she was? Robert Goulet. Come on, he was a great singer. Kurt Vonnegut Jr. died in 2007. Dan Fogelberg, Ike Turner, Boris Yeltsin. You know, he made history. Madeline L'Engle, remember her? A Wrinkle in Time. She wrote a great book called A Wrinkle in Time. Kitty Carlisle used to be on To Tell the Truth, and she was a singer. And Merv Griffin. There were a lot more, a whole lot more. And you know, many people suffered personal loss as well. In 9 years, it's an ending. In numerology, cycles run in nine. In 9 years, there's a winnowing, a clearing of the field, and there is loss. All the old furniture gets thrown out so you can make new furniture. It clears the field for the 1 year, which, of course, is 2017. This is when new things come on. And a wonderful friend of mine, said to me once, he said, Johnny, he said, everyone has their time on stage, and when it's time, they have to take a bow and leave to make room for the next act. And about 3 days later, he was dead. He made his final bow, and And he had his point. When it's our time to take our bow, we have to leave. And, you know, we're very scared right now because of our political situation. But I'm going to tell you that just because a clown is the ringleader of the circus, it doesn't change the rule. The show must go on. So even though you're scared, the show must go on. And 2017 is going to come, and it's a 1 year. And a 1 year means that there's space. There is space, and we have our time on stage. So, you know, what are you going to do? It's going to be your time on stage. What are you going to do? Are you going to be afraid? Are you going to be afraid? No, you got to set sail for the horizon, and you got to be the captain of your fate. You got to get on your boat and sail it. And if all you're going to do is complain about all the bad things that are going to happen because this clown is the ringleader of the circus, you're not going to get on that stage and perform. I want you to make this your motto, man. Just because a clown is the ringleader of the circus, it doesn't change the fact the show must go on. And you're the star of your own personal show. You got to do it. You got to do it. And there's going to be obstacles, and we're all going to be tested. But you are the captain of your ship. You're not a passenger of your ship. You are a captain. And when you try to change reality, it will push back. You got to push harder. And so yes, we've lost a lot of people, personal people. My half sister, who comes to town periodically, she lives in the Southwest. She's my we have the same father and different mothers. Her mother passed away this week, and in her 90s, and her mother has been hanging on for a long time because her family depends on her. You know, it's like, oh, Granny, you can't die, you can't die. What do we do without you, Granny? And so she's been hanging on for a long time. Well, she finally passed away, and the family is transferring their dependence on my sister now. She's my older sister. She's about 8 years older than me. She's in her 60s. And I talked to my sister. My sister was, understandably upset. And, this is my dad's my dad was married 9 times. My mom was his 9th wife. And my sister's mother was his 8th wife. So, I know. He was like Caligula or somebody. We thought he was married 7 times. Then my son did some genealogical research and found 2 extra marriage records. And he was married to 2 women at the same time at one point. So they overlapped. It was something else, man. My 4 marriages don't add up to much, really. It's family tradition. I stopped before I reached his record. So I was talking to her. I said, Sharon, you can't let them do this to you. You can't move into her role as being the support net of the family. I said, you have a decision here. I said, you can decide not to do this. You know, they have to take care of themselves. And she said, I know. I said, you can't. I said, that poor woman should have died 10 years ago, but she held on because she felt that the family would fall apart without her. And I said, now they're trying to put you in that role, and, you'll be miserable for the rest of your life. And she said, I know. I said, you don't have to do this. You can make a decision to just live your life, and, they can take care of themselves. I know. I said, make that decision. Walk away from this. So we all have a decision to make. And we have everybody's impressed with my dad's 9 marriages there. Same as Zsa Zsa. Somebody said, yeah, Dad and Zsa Zsa. Yep. So we find that we are going to have personal losses. What I find intriguing is people being very upset over the death of people who are very, very much fictional characters, media stars, rock musicians and actors and actresses who are really fictional characters, and people are, oh my God, my life's destroyed. I've been in bed all day because somebody died. And you're grieving over a movie role. That person never really lived. Someone they played in a movie, and the person they played in the movie is not dead because they're a fictional role. The actor who played them 30 years ago is dead. Yes. But, the person they played in the movie, who never really existed, is going to live forever because they're fiction. And Alan Moore, the comic writer, had something to say about that, about grown people who lost themselves in fiction and couldn't deal with reality. And I may read that as some point, because it is true. And, you know, come on now, I'm a Trekkie, not a Trekker, a Trekkie. I came home in the, you know, in 67 and 68, watched the original Star Trek, and I love Kirk and Spock. I love them to this day. I got a picture of me with my arms around Shatner, and, you know, when he dies, I'm going to feel a twinge, but it's not going to ruin my life, man, because Kirk lives forever. And I know Kirk is not Shatner. Shatner's not Kirk. I like Shatner, but, man, you know, Nimoy died, and I felt a twinge. I said, oh, man, Nimoy died. He was the actor that played Spock, but Nimoy was not Spock. You know, I don't make that in my mind. So, man, let's not freak out because celebrities die. Now, here's the question I have to ask for you. Did you think they were going to live forever? Did you think that David Bowie was going to live forever? Now, Keith Richards might live forever. It looks like Keith Richards is going to live forever. But did you think that Michael Jackson was going to live forever? Did you think George Michaels was going to live forever? Now, he died young. You know, he's younger than me. But this happens in show business. You know, show business burns people up. This will happen. Did you think, Carrie Fisher, what, you know, yes, she died at 60. You know, she's my age. She died at 60. But people die. People are going to die. Let them go. Let them go into spirit. You know, let them go into the silence. It's, you know, let them go. Let them go. Let them go into the silence. Princess Leia will be alive forever. You know, Princess Leia didn't die. Carrie Fisher died. Michael Jackson died. His music will live forever. Michelangelo died. You know, his art will live forever. Nikola Tesla died. His technology will live forever, even though Edison tried to destroy it. Let him go. Let him go. Let's talk a little bit after station identification about some stuff that will help us let some stuff go. Here it is, station identification. Let me know if this works.
LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Candelo's Corner with Candelo Camisa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7, Bit of Boxu with Madame Naya and Jaya Danya, Wednesdays 6 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursday 6 to 7:30, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LeFay, Friday 6 to 7, and Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All time specific. Add 3 hours for Eastern. Sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
It seemed a little scratchy to me. I think there's problems with Blog Talk tonight. You play Blog Talk Roulette when you have a show on Blog Talk, man. It sometimes comes out. Just because a clown is the ringleader of the circus doesn't change the fact that the show must go on. I came up with that the other night. I had a sleepless night. Insomnia is the friend of the creative person. So there we go. Pinhead. Oh, yeah, Pinhead died, didn't he? Yeah. I hated that. Did you know Pinhead was a local guy? I think he was from South Carolina. He's British, but I think he was from made his home in South Carolina. So he was a Southern boy, but from England originally. Let's talk about some coping strategies, shall we? Because this is, after all, practical. So, you know, I say things that may irritate people sometimes. You know, they say sometimes I come on a little strong, but I believe in living in the real world. I don't believe in living in a protected environment because the world is hard. The world is hard, and I talk to you like I would talk to my own son, because you're going to go out in the world, and the world's going to be hard for you. And if you're going to live in this world and survive, there are two things you can't be, and that is thin-skinned and passive-aggressive. Being thin-skinned and being passive-aggressive is going to get you squashed in this world, and you'll never, ever be successful if you're either one of those. And these are two things you can never be. I want to tell you something about my mother. She was neither thin-skinned nor passive-aggressive. She didn't know the meaning of either one of those words. And nor was my father, for that matter. My father had more tact than my mother, though. And I think that's why he got along with a lot more. So let's talk about some strategies here as we go into the new year. I do think that we do need to have a direction. You have to enter this new year with some idea about what you're going to accomplish. And by that I mean don't hide under a rock. You know, don't say, "Oh my God," because I really don't think. My prediction with Donald Trump is that he's going to be too busy in pissing matches with people that make fun of him. You know, he and Alec Baldwin are going to be too busy tweeting each other. Every time Alec Baldwin has set his sights on Donald Trump. He's going to torment Donald Trump, and I love him for it. And Donald Trump's going to be too busy fulminating at Alec Baldwin and everybody else's making fun of him. He's not going to do anything. He's not going to have time to do anything. He's going to be too busy responding to all this. So nothing's going to happen. Also, you know, world leaders don't start wars over tweets and emails. And I may eat my words because, you know, World War II started over the Zimmerman affair, which was a letter. You know, look up the Zimmerman affair if you don't know what that is. But that's how really America got basically. The German ambassador to Mexico tried to get Mexico to start a war with America. And that letter was intercepted and decoded, and that got America involved with the war in Germany. So that's called the Zimmerman. It was a letter. So I don't want to say that a tweet or an email won't start a war, but it's not going to be some kind of tweet, you know, like China sucks, you know, and, you know, that sort of thing. That's not going to start a war. But, you know, people think it is. You know, Donald said something about China. China's not going to take this. They're going to start a war. No. That's not how it works. You know, it has to be some kind of, intel that does that. But let's look at some stuff we can talk about. Moving on is what I'm thinking of. Oh, I'm so sorry. You know, letting go of the stuff that's holding you back is what I'm thinking of. Letting go of stuff so you can make space for new stuff. And now, I want to give you some funny advice. The first step to moving away from something is to hold on to it for a little while. You got to say goodbye to it, right? So dwell on it for a little while. You got to dwell on it. If there's something that's really bugging you, dwell on it. Don't try to ignore it. Dwell on it. Hold on to it. But set aside a time for it. Set aside a time early in the day. If you're worried or anxious about something, set aside a time early in the day and dwell on it. Give yourself half an hour in the morning or in the early afternoon and focus. Don't ignore it. Focus on it. And then after you focused on it and you fully understand it, set a goal to let it go. And then if you're dwelling on the past more than you think is good for you, if it's becoming to the point where it's interfering with your functionality, you're going to have to start cross-examining yourself. Why does this thing in the past matter to you? It's a memory. Why does it matter to you? Why is it limiting your life? Why is it keeping you from making decisions? Why can't I move away from it? Why is it still important to me? You got to keep asking yourself these questions. You know, cross-examine yourself like Hamilton Berger did and Perry Mason. Just drill yourself. How is it serving me? Because if it's holding you back, it's serving you somehow. There's some you're gaining something from this. How am I benefiting from this? And you ask yourself, what's the worst thing that can happen if I let this go? And because there is a worst case scenario, you let this go. What is the worst thing that can happen if I let this go? And then once you do this, you're going to come to some insights. And when you answer these questions, some of these answers you're not going to like. You know, what's the worst thing that happened? I let this go. Then you go. And then you have to think it through once you've done this. You got to really think about this. Can you live with it? Can you live with letting it go? If you let this go, can you live with it? Because you got to do what you can live with. You have to be able to live with it. Then you have to stop going over it. People love to go over their problems. They love to rehash their problems and go over it and go over it, talk about it. They repeat it over and over. They hope to gain some kind of new insight by telling other people about it. This is why people do what we call psychic surfing. They'll go to all kinds of different psychics with the same problem again and again and again, hoping to have some kind of new insight that will free them from this obsession on the past. And they want to hear we want to hear what we want to hear, not what we need to hear that'll set us free. So, but it won't work. It won't work. Rehashing just won't work. I'll tell you that if you stop telling this story, if you stop rehashing this, you'll realize that you do have more control over it. It's the power of silence. If you shut up, you'll realize that that this memory, the past, will not only have any control over you, just be quiet. Stop talking about it. Now, you got to reach a point there, though. You know, this is not the big, but just, you got to get to a point of comfort with it. Just stop talking about it. And this is why Facebook pisses me off, because people go on and on and on about the most personal things. I'm so sad I just broke up with my boyfriend. I'm so betrayed by my girlfriend. Oh, my God, now you know who my friends are. I know who my friends are because I'm so betrayed. And it go on and on and on and on. Back in my day, that was private matters. You didn't air it on a public forum like a reality show. It's bad taste. But they go on and 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 on about stuff that is a private matter. They're rehashing. And then a thousand expressions of, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Oh my God, I know what you're going through. Oh my. And then in the comments thread, people rehash their stuff and it keeps it alive. It's a vicious cycle. I know what you're going. You poor thing. I know you were hurt. Oh my God, I hate that person. They're doing that. Blah, 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 blah. And it produces oxytocin, the pleasure chemical when you get all these likes and things and these likes and expressions of sympathy, 57 likes, because you expressed your pain, your trauma, but it's not therapeutic. It is not therapeutic to publicly express your trauma and have a million people, about two of whom you really know, it's rehashing, and it's not therapeutic. It's harmful. It grooves it in. The more I hurt, the more I express trauma and pain, the more attention I get. It's like a little kid coming up. Look, I got a boo-boo on my finger. Oh, honey, that's too bad. Put a Band-Aid on. Oh, look, I scraped my knee. Oh, honey, let's put a Band-Aid on. Kids outgrow that, hopefully. But if you look at Facebook, you realize they don't sometimes. So we got to stop rehashing. Bury your memories in a box. Now, this is not a figurative thing. Photographs, trinkets, rings, earrings, pictures, letters, whatever's holding you back, toys, whatever it is, put it in a box. Things you write down, put it in a box. You can literally bury it, or you can just put it somewhere where you don't see it. Now, if you're ready to revisit it sometime with a different mindset, to let it go, do it. If you're ready to chuck it in a fire and burn it, do it. I'll tell you, after my worst divorce, I had a bonfire. I put all the letters and cards and the memorabilia I had, pictures. I took it, had a bonfire, put them in the fire, and said goodbye to her, walked away. I was done. Right when the divorce is final, I did that. I knew I was going to do it. I had a fire, put it in the fire. I said, I love you, but it's time to say goodbye and never look back. It was time to do that. And, I could have held on to those things, and kept picking at it. But when I said goodbye, I meant it. Now, you put it in a box, burn it. You got to have a symbolic severing of whatever it is that's holding you back. And also, you have to have perspective on what really matters. Is whatever holding you back or whoever was holding you back important enough to do that? Because being held back is a sacrifice. Is it really that important? So, who in your group of people that you know really matters to you? Who's really there for you? Who's just taking up space? Remember, the whole idea of this is to open up space, to put good and true and important things. Who's really there? You know, in building these new relationships and new goals and things, who's really there for you and who's just taking things from you? Who's just taking up space? Now, if there are people who are really there for you, get rid of the people who are taken from you. And whatever those people are taken from you, give back to the people who are really there for you. You know, maybe they're struggling too. Now you got a circuit of giving and receiving. And this heterodynes. Take away from the people that are taking from you and give that positive energy to the people who are giving to you. This is a big step. And this is when productivity of giving and receiving really takes place. That feeling you have of being drained and taken advantage of and hurt and held back completely disappears. And you create a loving circuit of creative energy. Also, whatever's holding you back doesn't own you. You own it. You're in total control of it. It doesn't own you. You know, this is a decision you make. This is why I keep telling people it's a decision you make. It's a decision you make to hold on to this stuff. And people say, well, you know, I can't move on. I love it. I just love him so much. You know, loving someone is a decision you make. It doesn't own you. You own it. If you're not in control of your thoughts, if you're not in control of your emotions, there's something wrong there. You have to take control of your thoughts and your emotions. If you're not in control of your thoughts, that's a mental disorder. If you're not in control of your emotions, that's an emotional disorder. That's a disorder. That's by the very definition, disorder, disarray. It's out of order. The correct order is I am in control of my thoughts. I am in control of my emotions. That's proper order. So you've got to find it. You are in control of it. You own it. And if you're not, take control of it. So it does not own you. You own it. So whatever's holding you back cannot take control of your actions. It cannot make you feel inferior. It cannot restrict you from living from the life you want without your cooperation. If it's holding you back, you're cooperating. You have to believe this. You have to believe it. Every part of you, anatomically, emotionally, mentally, belongs to you. So you do it. So now you have to disconnect from that anchor and then reconnect with your goal and make new memories and make new traditions. And if you do that, you are going to do that. So what you're going to do that, and you'll let go of this 2016 that so many of us have had such a hard time getting through, and you'll make 2017 whatever it is you want. Craft it. You will craft 2017. We do not see any kind of indication that In the Streets with Beverly Smith will be on tonight. Maybe it will be, but we don't have any indication that it will. We hope everything's all right with Beverly. We love her. You know, my friends, you know that I love you very much, and it's been my pleasure and my honor to bring the show to you throughout 2016. I hope to see you again in 2017. Come back next week in January. We'll be at the new location, broadcasting from the haunted Whittle Mansion. And, man, I don't know what to say. I'm just very grateful to be here. I'm grateful for those of you that listen. I'm grateful to the LMC Radio Network for sponsoring this. Grateful to be alive. Grateful to be drawing breath. Grateful to have the opportunity to be here before you. So, happy New Year. Happy 2017. Goodbye.